the peace of God, which goes above all understanding. Protect our hearts and our knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we will hear these words, which are written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, in chapter 24, beginning with verse 42, going to verse 51. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. These are the words that our dear Redeemer spoke to his own disciples during the week before Easter on the Mount of Olives. And only Jesus and his disciples were there. Easter was the largest celebration for the Jews. And people gathered in Jerusalem from many areas so that the population of Jerusalem grew manyfold. And we have the same kind of situation here at these services. I think the population here has grown to two times that which it normally is in this area. And for our dear Savior, this Tuesday before Easter was the last day that he was in the temple in Jerusalem. And when his time came, when the time of God came, John the Baptist was born, and then later Jesus was born. And Jesus, in his own words, says that the birth of John was a mark of the end of the time of visitation for the Jews, and it was a time of and the time of visitation for the pagans began. And he said, in the 21st verse, Therefore I say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. How can the kingdom of God be taken away? What kind of kingdom remains when the kingdom of God is taken away? And did those who are planning to capture Jesus and kill him, were these part of the kingdom of God? And we have to say they were not part of the living kingdom of God. They belong to that group. Which, starting from Adam and Eve up until this time, and also at the time of Cain and Abel, there was this division into two groups. There are only two groups: those who believe according to God's mind, who are in the kingdom of God, and then the other group who travel in this world and are lost. On the Sermon of the Mount, our dear Redeemer said, "Go in through the narrow gate. Many go through the wide gate and on the wide road, but it leads to condemnation. How narrow is that gate and that road which leads to life, and only few find it." During the time of Christ and John the Baptist, the flock of the children of God was small. But when John the Baptist and then later on Jesus spoke, there were many people who repented among the Jews during their last days of visitation. And from that group, in that group, were the publicans and harlots. And on that same day before Easter, says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill those prophets who have come before you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Two 2,000 years has gone by from that time, and the people of the Jewish people still do not recognize Jesus as their Messiah. That is why Jesus was born, when God ordained it. See God's power in this. If God closes something, no one else can open it. But if God opens something, no one else can close it. And then Paul says in the book of Romans that the people of "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. This has not come yet. The Jews are still, the Jews still do not know Jesus as their Messiah. And it says in the Bible, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. In another part of the Bible, it says that the salvation of the pagans will be in the Jews. But as it says in the Bible, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. There is a temporal Israel, and there is a spiritual Israel. All those who have remained in faith and who have been able to return from unbelief, they carry the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit gives them the power to see the Zion of the Lord. And so then it will be that the salvation of the Jews shall come from the pagans. And it says in the Bible, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. And dear ones, there is only one place in this whole world where a person who is searching or a person who is knocking on the door where it will be opened, where a sinner is saved. As it says in the Bible, an evil spirit will leave that unbelieving person, and in its place comes the Holy Spirit who teaches that person, I myself have received forgiveness from the world. Lestadianism was just one other group. In my home, we did not speak of God at all. We did not say our evening prayers, but we belonged to the church. And we thought that from all the different religions, the best people will be saved. But during the 50s and 60s, it was generally thought that the religions of the Far East were unbelievers or infidels. But now people think of this differently. They only think that the best people of all religions would obtain heaven. And they didn't. But what about those poor ones and the weak ones? And people thought that these poor and weak ones were automatically in this poor place. But when I received the grace of repentance, I recognized the kingdom of God, and it was dear to me. And the few relatives that I had, we became members of this living congregation. And we can only see this living congregation on this earth through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. And now we can see that the enemy of the soul or the devil is clever. If it seems that there are different groups in this Zion of God. I remember the times in the 1970s. We had discussions. Some of these people did not have a mind of forgiveness. even though my loved one treats me poorly or treats me wrong, and even if I would become bitter, isn't my own endeavor of faith in danger? And this is what the enemy of the soul wants. He wants two bad things to happen. That this person who treated me wrongly, he should take care of his matters. But if I became angry, then I also need to repent of this anger and become free. And our dear Savior, during the last week before Easter, he was treated very badly and very cruelly. But what did he say about those who captured him? And what did he say to Judas Iscariot when he showed those who were to capture Jesus who he was? Was Jesus bitter? But in the book, in Matthew, he says, "My friend, why did you come?" And in the book of Luke, he says, "Judah, are you going to betray your Redeemer with your words?" The Redeemer did not hate Judas, but he had love towards him. But that decision which is made by the Father, by the Heavenly Father, we cannot even change things, even if it is our own child. You dear young one, even if your endeavor in faith seems weak and lacking, and if you think, well, I'll go into the world, make a trip there, this is a bad idea, because in the kingdom of God, we understand that this, our own endeavor of faith is completely voluntary. We do not have to believe. And God exhorts us to put sin away, but do not leave this congregation. And if one of you comes back from the world, it is not in your hands. If God does not open your conscience, then it is impossible to return back to the kingdom of God. And we sigh because of our own children. And even in my family, some have gone into the world. I sigh to the heart of the Heavenly Father, and I criticize myself because I speak so little of eternal matters to my children. It is good there is a Bivamius in this, in the publications, and it is good to even read the Bible. I remember the words of one mother, because she said she does not have the strength to speak to her children of faith. Then I will speak of my children to my dear Heavenly Father. All our sighs and all our prayers are in a golden vessel of God. And in our text we heard, "Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." In Luke, it is written, "Herren, He says, Lord, do you mean these guests? With your parable, do you mean everybody but only us, or only us? In the beginning, I said that Jesus spoke only to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. When Jesus came out of the temple and was leaving, his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, there were no others there. The disciples came unto him, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Before Jesus tells them, and you can, each one of you, you can read it from the Bible, from the book of St. Matthew, from chapter 24 and the chapters before and after it. Jesus answered and said, Be careful that no man deceive you. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. The gospel of this kingdom will be proclaimed unto all the earth, and then at the end will come. And the Bible says to all the pagans, but that day and that moment is known by no one, not the boy or not the angels in heaven, only the Father knows. As it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall happen in the days of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This whole chapter 24 on the Mount of Olives, in this whole chapter, Jesus is speaking to his own. And Jesus knew the condition of each of his apostles' hearts, of his disciples' hearts. And he told Peter that you will deny me three times, but I prayed before you. But Judas Iscariot had even a more difficult condition of heart. And Jesus knew this. When the time of visitation comes to all people in the world, the time of visitation will end for each person personally. And now within the kingdom of God, we have seen that someone's time of visitation has ended before his life has ended. And if a person's time of visitation ends, then it is no longer possible for him to return and receive repentance. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Who is this faithful servant. It is or who is this Lord? It is our dear Redeemer. And in the book of John, he says, "He who loves me will keep my commandments." A child of God has this within his heart, this triune God, the God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And each child of God is part of this kingdom of God, the city of God, where the Spirit of God lives. And each servant has his own gifts, and they are given by God. Some have the gifts of teaching. Some have gifts of prophesying. Paul listed these gifts. And everyone has these gifts. Little boys and girls have them, and elderly people have them. Parents have these gifts, and also we who are grandparents. We have more time to be with our grandchildren, more time than when we were bringing up our own children. So as grandmas and grandpas, we notice our grandchildren and what they are doing. And God has much wisdom when he has arranged things like this. We are a powerful city, and the Heavenly Father protects us. Our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the congregation mother, could there be any better place to be endeavoring than to live and travel in this city where everyone personally can hear the forgiveness of their sins, and it is boundless. And our Redeemer had to teach Peter, because Peter thought that maybe it is enough if you forgive someone seven times a day. But Jesus said, always, when your loved one is repentant, always forgive him. And in ourselves, we are evil in ourselves. And if someone offends us and comes to ask for forgiveness, it is not always easy and simple to forgive them. Our hearts have not had a chance to go along with this, but we have no other choice. If someone asks for forgiveness, we have no other choice but to forgive them. And we do not have to try to measure how repentant they are. But if a person receives the power to try to correct his matters, this power is given by God. And we have to say to our believing friend that I myself feel evilness in me, that I want to forgive you, but ask the Heavenly Father that I would be able to forgive you from my heart, because in the Bible, in another part of the Bible, it is said, if you are not able to forgive another one from your heart, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. But when we can resolve
dela
If we have argued with someone else or something has happened to break the love, it is hard to go and ask forgiveness from another. But for an example, a couple who has lived together for a long time, they want to forgive each other. But it is the gospel, the precious blessing of the gospel, which can correct matters. And in the Gospel of John, we can see that our Redeemer knew the hearts of each one of the disciples, and he was worried about the condition of heart of Judas and Peter. And before the feast of the Passover, which was a memory of the leaving Egypt and bondage, Jesus initiated this new covenant of communion. And in this situation, all 12 disciples were present, also Peter and Judas. And because the celebration of Easter was coming soon, and Jesus knew that the moment was coming when he would move from this world to be with his Father, he had loved those who were with him in this world. He showed his love to them until the last moment. He said, There has never been anyone else in this earth whose love was complete, was perfect. He was a God from God. He was born unto the Virgin Mary. He was a man among other men. And it was his task to fulfill the law of God. No one else was able to do this because of the fall into sin of Adam and Eve. For this reason, God sent his own Son into this world to redeem us from all our sins, and he fulfilled the demanding law of God for us and to free us. They were gathered before the feast. The devil had already put the idea into the heart of Jesus, of Judas, that he would betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. He rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And he began to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter told him, "Lord, you can never wash my feet." Jesus answered and said, "If I do not wash you, then you cannot be with me." Then Simon Peter said, "Lord, do not only wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head." And Jesus answered him and said, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." But then it was remarkable that he said, "But not all." So during that feast, that supper before Easter, and when he washed their feet, he especially loved Judas Iscariot. And three different times, this was the first time that he said, but you are not all clean. When I tried to prepare for this, my speaking turn, and I stopped at this point, I thought, was Peter one of those who were not clean? In the following verse, we can clearly see Jesus knew who would betray him, and for that reason, he said, ye are not all clean. Peter, in that situation, was in this group of the 11, but Judas Iscariot, as we heard in the beginning, the devil had tempted him and was tempting him to betray Jesus. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he sat down again to eat and said, I will give you an example, so you will do what I have done to you. And it is good for us to remember in this situation that the Lutheran Church teaches us that we receive the forgiveness of sins during communion. But as we remember, all 12 disciples had already enjoyed this communion, then if they would have received their forgiveness in this communion, then Judas Iscariot would not have fallen into this sin. So always when we fall into sin, we have to find a believing brother or sister or a mother or father can have their children, they have their spouses. And it is good for you single brothers and sisters to have a few escorts, a few friends that you can talk to about your matters so that you can support each other with the gospel. When you know this and you all act in this way, you will be saved. So we wash each other's feet, and this means that we confess our sins. And this cloth that he wiped their feet is a picture of how we are as closed vessels. We do not speak to other people about these things that have been forgiven with the blood. So Jesus said, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whosoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. In the kingdom of God, we are in unity with the Son and the one who sent him. Jesus said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So this is the third time Jesus said that one of you will betray me. But the time of Jesus had passed. Then even these loving instructions, which did not help Judas Iscariot. The disciples looked at one another. They did not understand what he spoke about. Just think, they had been with Jesus every day. But even then, this condition of Judas' heart was a surprise to the rest of them. And they asked Jesus, well, who is it? And Jesus says, the person I give this piece of bread to, he is the one. And Jesus gave the bread to Judas. And after that, Judas left, and he spent a very dark night. Jesus had loved those who he was with, and he loved them until the end. When he washed their feet, our dear Redeemer was not angry towards Judas Iscariot. He did not have any bitterness towards him. And we are also asked to have a loving mind and have forgiveness toward our loved ones. And it is God's will, as we now can believe all our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I ask for my own self, can I also believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.